Hello and good afternoon, at least from Europe. I'm Dr. Nizam Damani, and I will be chairing your session today. As you know, that the title of today's WHO teleclass is the new global campaign to eliminate unsafe therapeutic injection. It is my great honor and privilege to introduce to you Professor Benedetta Alegranzi, who will deliver today's presentation. Professor Alegranzi is a specialist in infectious diseases, tropical medicine, infection control and hospital epidemiology, and has a wide experience in dealing with IPC issues both in developed and developing countries. He currently works at the WHO headquarters in Geneva in the Service Delivery and Safety Department, where she is leading the Clean Care, the Safer Care program, which focused on hand hygiene, infection prevention and control, and antimicrobial resistance in healthcare setting. Since 2013, Professor Alegranzi has been awarded the title of Professor of Infectious Disease in Italy and Adjunct Professor of Public Health at the Faculty of Medicine, University of Geneva. She closely collaborates with the team at the WHO Collaborating Center on Patient Safety at the University of Geneva Hospital, as well as with the Armstrong Institute for Patient Safety and Quality at the Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, United States. She has published over 150 scientific publications in various journals, including Lancet and New England Journal of Medicine, and author of 6 chapters in various books. So without further ado, I now hand over to my colleague Benedetta to deliver today's presentation on the injection safety. Thank you. On to you, Benedetta.
Thank you very much, Nizam. And I should also say from my side that I have the honor to work with Dr. Nizam Damani in our program. I have had this honor for many years now. And in particular, this year, he has been very close to our work by contributing with technical input, which has been very important. So I take the opportunity to thank you, Nizam. So good morning, good afternoon, everyone. We are here today to talk about injection safety, which, as you have just learned from Dr. Damani, has become part of our service delivery and safety department at WHO has been integrated within our infection control program. And we are about to launch this new injection safety initiative focusing on therapeutic services about which I will talk today. So if you go to the second slide, you can see here the data that I'm sure all of you well know from WHO in 2000, highlighting the burden of unsafe injections. In particular, according to those data, we know that on average, every year, we have about 16 billion injections worldwide, and almost 40% of them, according to the data in 2000, were given with reused equipment. This unfortunately leads to several infections. The most important are hepatitis B, C, and also HIV/AIDS, as you know, and unsafe injections practices contribute to the 41% and 9% of these infections, new cases, respectively, every year. So this brings to a burden of 21 million hepatitis B infections, 2 million hepatitis C infections, and 260,000 HIV infections every year. This, according to the data we had available in 2000. We have to say that recently, there has been new data issued in PLOS ONE 2013 by PEPBAN and others, And in particular, the rates of reuse, according to these authors, appear to have been reduced significantly over the last 10 years, from the 40% that you see featured in this slide to 5.5%. However, we, having reviewed the methodology used in this modeling, we believe that, unfortunately, direct comparisons between the 2000 data and the data analyzed by Pepin and others, these comparisons are not possible because of different methodologies used in the, in these studies. However, this provides a very hopeful perspective of the current improvement of reused equipment. But just to continue on this point, WHO has recent data which unfortunately also highlight that, especially in some regions, such as the Eastern Mediterranean region, the African, Eastern European, and Southeast Asian regions, unfortunately, the problem is still there, with some areas where actually we have recorded worsening of this problem, such as in Africa, some African countries where the use of injections goes still up to 22% in Rwanda, for instance, or 16% in Gabon. So it was just to give you an a quick update. In general, we still see that in some countries up to 70% of injections are given with reused syringes and needles in the developing world. And over 70% of injections are considered unnecessary in some regions. And this problem is especially the emergence of infections from reused equipment is not only happening in developing countries, but also we have seen recently reports from, for instance, the U.S., where hepatitis C was transmitted by reusing devices such as glucometers. So this problem not only brings a burden in terms of epidemiology, but also in terms of economic indicators. And you can see in the last bullet point of the second slide that direct medical costs linked to unsafe injections were estimated to be up to $535 million U.S. dollars. And this is an important indicator also, considering some data I will show you showing really the cost effectiveness of safe injections practices. And lastly, not to neglect, obviously, the high-level mortality connected every year to unsafe injections, causing up to 1.3 million early deaths with a loss of 26 million years of life. Next slide starts to remind all of us what has been done, because, as I said, there are promising new data which show much lower levels of reuse, and also we know that a lot of progress has been done in some fields in terms of injection safety. So we start from reminding ourselves the work undertaken by SIGN, which is the Safe Injection Global Network, which was launched by WHO in 1999, and the secretariat of which is based at WHO. And it includes many members, many organizations, including private sector and the main, most important UN and other international agencies. The SIGN strategies have been very intensive over the last 15 years, especially focusing on patient safety, healthcare worker safety, and safety of the community. So really advocating for reducing unnecessary injections and also introducing non-reusable equipment, looking at healthcare workers' safety, in particular through waste management strategies, and also these strategies being applied in the community. Next slide shows you what was the focus of this first policy document, which was issued in 1999 by WHO, UNICEF, and UNFPA, and then applied by many other agencies worldwide. This document focused on immunization injections. And the main focus was to promote strongly the use of auto-disabled syringes for immunization injections. And actually, it's a policy that has been implemented in many countries. And for instance, starting from this policy document, UNICEF started to supply only syringes with reuse prevention features. And obviously, this has been done and followed by many, many other stakeholders worldwide. And this is, if you go to the next slide, this is actually one of the main reasons leading to many country success stories, which are summarized in this interesting WHO document, which is available on the SIGN web pages. As you can see, these success stories were related mainly to immunization projects based on the use of auto-disabled syringes, and also were other projects related to needle stick injuries prevention, therefore healthcare workers' safety projects. From this slide, but I'm going to focus on this in a few minutes, you can notice that other areas, such as the reuse prevention and other improvement approaches in therapeutic services, unfortunately, were not covered very extensively yet. But we'll come back to this point in a few minutes. Next slide shows you an important study published by WHO in 2003 by GCAN and others, which modeled cost-effectiveness approach to assess basically the interest in applying policies and implementation strategies for safe and appropriate use of injections in any type of services, therefore including therapeutic services. So the model was based on the data I presented earlier from 2000 and basically was focusing on the three main types of blood-borne infections that I mentioned earlier, and looking at the incidence attributable to unsafe injections. The intervention that was featured in this model included both the safe and appropriate use of injections, which means that this model included campaign, a potential project using the provision of single-use syringes, not the the reuse prevention syringes of which I've talked about earlier and I will go much more in details later, but simply provision of single-use syringes, assuming that these are used without being reused in at least 95% of cases. And then, as I said, also integrated an implementation approach in which interactional group discussions between patients and providers were modeled, considering this an important approach in order to improve the appropriateness use of injections. So the main results in terms of cost effectiveness are listed in this slide and in the next slide. This model found a reduction of the global burden of injections-associated infections by as much as 96.5%, corresponding to almost 9 million dailies, and an average cost of such a policy was considered less than 50 cents international dollars per person per year. In the next slide, you can see in the second bullet point that it was calculated that the average cost per daily averted was 102 international dollars, and overall the average yearly averted cost was calculated as high as 905 million international dollars. This has a high value, especially when comparing with 1 year of average per capita income. So basically, the models showed that in all subregions analyzed, the cost of each daily averted through national policies is considerably less than 1 year of average per capita income, which is the threshold for an intervention being highly cost-effective, according to the WHO Commission on Microeconomics and Health. So this is a landmark study, very important, already showing the cost-effectiveness of a global strategy to improve injection safety, but not yet tackling the issue of improving it by promoting the use of non-reusable syringes and needles, as we will see later. So in the next slide, which is slide number 9, you can see that that in general, we consider that the bulk of injections is especially related to therapeutic use. So 90% of injections worldwide are administered for therapeutic reasons. And only 10% are actually practiced for immunization purposes. So, as you may understand, having had so far a policy on focusing on immunization has been very important, of course, but has addressed only a portion of the problem. Therefore, and if you go to the next slide, the WHO Director General has called for a new initiative, which is the one I'm currently presenting, a new global initiative on injection safety, which I will explain in a minute, but it's really tackling mainly the therapeutic injections worldwide in a multifaceted approach, which I will explain you in a few minutes. And mainly using and promoting non-reusable devices for injection. If you go to the next slide, you can start to see the so-called safety-engineered injections devices. We have mainly two types of devices in this field, the RUPs, which are reuse prevention devices or syringes, and SIPs, which are sharp injury protection devices. Reuse prevention devices have various different types of disabling mechanisms. There are several models which are available, but basically what happens is that after use, this syringe cannot be reused because the it is inactivated in different ways. Some of these RUP syringes also include a sharp injury protection feature, which basically helps the protection of the needle or the retraction of the needle after use, and this prevents mainly healthcare workers' injuries during manipulation of injections. From this slide and the next, you can appreciate what is the cost for these different type of syringes, and you can see that compared to a standard disposable syringe, auto-disabled syringes, which are basically have the same way of working of reuse preventable prevention devices, but they are specifically for immunization. So AD syringes and RUP syringes have a neglectable, I would say, higher cost than standard disposable syringes. So over the last year, the prices went down significantly, and now in some cases the price is the same as standard disposable syringes. However, if you go to the next slide, which shows you the features of RUPs which have an SIP mechanism integrated, you can see that the cost of these devices is still quite higher than RUPs or standard disposable syringes. And this is a problem, obviously, for the market, and it's a problem for affordability by developing countries. But we will discuss about this later. So I showed you these devices because this is the promotion of these devices is one of the pillars of our new global injection safety initiative. But if you go to the next slide, you can also see that this has been one of the pillars of a previous initiative, which is was called Making Medical Injection Safer, which actually promoted the therapeutic services, promoted the use on non-reusable syringes, and also best practices in the use of injections in therapeutic services and so on, reducing the inappropriate use and so on. And this was an initiative part of the U.S. President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, PEPFAR, and it included 11 countries in Africa, and the main aim was to reduce risk of disease transmission, in particular by HIV, HBV, and HCV, by decreasing unsafe injections. And it was funded by the CDC and USAID, and implementers of this initiative were several stakeholders and partners, such as the John Snow Institute, others such as PATH, CDC itself, and so on. So if you go to the next slide, you can see that this initiative had a very comprehensive approach to addressing the problem of unsafe and unnecessary therapeutic injections from national levels to service delivery points. And it was meant really to tackle the whole project from before accessing healthcare services, therefore the level of the government, advocacy activities, policy development at the national level, procurement of these safe injections equipments and so on, to the level of actual use, and therefore healthcare workers training, public and patient education, technical guidance regarding the safe use of injections, and also training really about the use of these new engineered devices. And the next phase, which is appropriate healthcare waste management and also monitoring and evaluation of injection safety and healthcare waste, appropriate healthcare waste management. So if you go to the next slide, you can see what have been the main results of this very important project. Mainly 9 out of 11 countries where the project was implemented developed their own injection safety policies, and these policies focused on obviously on the main issues, including other aspects of infection prevention and control, not only the ones related to injection safety. And then in terms of procurement of the safety engineered devices, it was possible to transition from the initial phase of the project to country systems providing these devices and leading to local procurement in most of these countries. In some countries, actually, the safety syringes are now listed on essential equipment lists. In addition, in these countries, there was massive training about injection safety and other IPC practices covering over 97,000 healthcare workers. And also, from this project, important progress was made in terms of waste management, making safety boxes available almost in all MMIS facilities. So this project has been very important, has resulted in, for instance, a significant reduction in needle stick injury among healthcare workers reported from some countries. However, while the outcome was very positive, especially the short and medium term, the initiative was limited in time, and also, as I said, the number of countries which this initiative involved was also quite limited in time, in number. Another piece of evidence, which I think is quite important, is this cost-effectiveness analysis conducted by PATH in South Africa, in particular in 10 healthcare facilities in KwaZulu district in 2006 and 2007. So this project aimed at introducing retractable syringes for curative injections in the context of an injection safety campaign, as I said, covering 10 hospitals in this particular district in South Africa. If you go to the next slide, you can see what are the main results. And basically, they showed that in the 10 targeted hospitals, the annual benefit of the program could be more than $1.1 million. And they also showed that almost 4,000 infections caused by hepatitis B and C virus and HIV by unsafe injections could be prevented. By extrapolating these data to the national level, they showed that almost 18,500 infections could be prevented in the whole country, South Africa. So this is another very important study for us, because this study, as I said, introduced a retractable syringe model, and therefore addressed needle stick injuries among healthcare workers and syringe reuse, because the device used included both RUP and also SIP features. So now, to go to the important point of the new initiative, I will focus on this, but the concepts that I've mentioned earlier are very important, are really pillars for motivating this new initiative, and also for giving us the hope that this will lead to further improvement and change. So, as I said earlier, and we are now on slide number 18, the main objective of this new initiative is to promote rational and safe use of injections by consolidating the results achieved by SINE and others in the past, in particular in immunization services, and then especially focusing on curative and safe injections, as I said, through the promotion of the use of safety-engineered devices, RUPs and SIPs, as I mentioned earlier. A third very important objective is to continue and strengthen strategies to improve the appropriate use of injections by leading to avoidance of unnecessary injections, in particular when an oral option is available. So the main two outputs of this new initiative, which we are developing, are a global policy, which I will present into details in the next couple of slides, and then a global strategy and campaign aimed at implementing this global policy, in particular in countries highly affected by the problem of unsafe injections and infections attributable to this problem. If you go to the next slide, very quickly, I would like to explain to you that based on systematic reviews, we have developed a new policy document, which most likely will be launched by the WHO DG at the end of October. This document focuses on therapeutic injections mainly, but also reaffirms the importance of the previously issued joint statement on immunization injections. And the core of this policy document is the recommendation for transition to the exclusive use of WHO pre-qualified RUP or SIP devices, which are the ones that I mentioned earlier. Obviously, in parallel, we also recommend to continue to develop rational use of and supply for standard disposable syringes, especially for specific procedures and settings where the standard syringes are still required, such as medication reconstitution, multiple drugs mixing, and other procedures. If you go to the next slide, you can understand from the policy already what is our strategic implementation approach. The policy also urges donor agencies in the future to fund only procurement of safety engineered injections devices when their projects include administration of drugs through injections, and actually we recommend them to finance not only the devices but also appropriate quantities of diluents, safety boxes, and also the costs for the related sharps waste management. The policy also recommends the development of an implementation of strategies for the reduction of overuse of injections. So it tackles also the inappropriate use of injections according to the WHO recommendations and also the previous science strategies. And you can go to the next slides and basically see the last points, which are related to strongly encouraging manufacturers to broaden their production and market, both at the international and local level, switching or increasing the production of safety engineered injections devices and seeking PQS pre-qualification. In addition, we have one more point, which is the perspective of perhaps branding the pre-qualified products with a WHO, not the WHO logo, but the brand of this global initiative. In the next slide, you can now see the list of the important key features for our global campaign, which we are progressively developing. So these are to build political commitment, to have a sound communication strategy, accompanied by a branding for this new initiative, and then to engage international donors and industry through targeted strategies, in addition to engage other key stakeholders with, again, specific strategies. And then it has two very important aspects which have been already initiated by SIGN, which are the emphasis on healthcare workers' safety, education, and training, because we strongly believe that the ultimate outcomes of this global campaign and new global policy cannot be achieved without having healthcare workers fully on board, fully understanding the advantages and the ultimate goal of preventing harm through this new approach, and also the need for having them understand how, for instance, the new engineered safety devices work. The second point is the public, patients, public awareness raising about the possibility to avoid injections, because one of the main determinants nowadays of the high volume of injections administered worldwide is really patients' demand for injections, because they believe they are stronger medications or they believe they work, injections work faster, even pain caused by injections for some cultures is a marker of efficacy. So we need to disseminate better concepts and education, and also make awareness, make the public aware of the harm and the risks of receiving an injection, especially when inappropriate. All these features and this comprehensive strategic approach are accompanied by an evaluation plan and some indicators that we identified, and we will ask to be collected, especially in countries implementing this campaign. One important point, if you go to the next slide, for us is really to tackle the value chain as a whole, in particular seeking the support and the collaboration by many stakeholders, both at the international and the national levels. And these are listed here, and you can imagine that among them there are not only ministries of health or governments, but also, for instance, important point, the regulatory agencies, NGOs, and also the private sector, which is an important component of many healthcare systems worldwide nowadays. If you go to the next slide, for the last few minutes of this presentation, I just wanted to give you a little bit more details about what we mean by implementing through a global campaign these key features I listed earlier. So political commitment means for us to seek formal engagement by member states, in particular those countries which are affected more heavily by this problem. We will try to engage them in different ways, obviously urging them to develop policies, national policies, based on our global policy. But also we are considering to use a similar approach as the one that we used for the Global Hand Hygiene Campaign, asking ministries of health to sign a specific document pledging their engagement in the campaign and especially in the implementation of it. Second point, as I said, is a sound communication strategy, which obviously needs to accompany any global campaign. And we have learned a lot, once again, in our Save Lives, Clean Your Hands campaign about this. We know that the campaign needs to have strong visibility. And nowadays, in modern communications, we need to strategize based on social marketing concepts, innovative approaches, for instance, by using mobile phones, videos, social media, or creating new interactive web pages. And we are working with some very skilled partners on this. As I mentioned earlier, we will have a specific brand for this campaign, a logo for the campaign itself, to identify it and to increase recognition of quality and safety of qualified safety-engineered injections devices. Next slide. So this slide relates to the engagements of international donors, industry, and key stakeholders. Basically, as I said earlier, we will urge international donors to fund only the procurement of safety-engineered injections devices in all their projects, in particular in countries affected by the problem. And we also, in the policy, urge them to also procure sufficient quantities of standard syringes and other necessary items for a safe devices use and waste management. The second point I would like to mention is other key stakeholders engagement, which is the third in this table. We are developing a comprehensive list of key stakeholders, as I said earlier, to tackle the whole value chain involved in the policy and campaign implementation. And we will address them in different ways according to their nature and way of working. The other point in this slide is of particular interest and importance to us and this campaign. It's industry engagement, because, as I said earlier, the success of the campaign depends on technology change and the expansion of this market of safety-engineered injections devices, possibly leading to reducing prices as well. So we are fully aware of the importance of engaging industry and having a direct dialogue with companies producing these devices. So we are about to launch a formal collaboration platform with umbrella organizations of injections devices manufacturers to motivate them to develop or expand the production of safety-engineered injections devices, facilitate procurement in countries, and reduce device costs as much as possible. If you go to the next slide, you can understand that this kind of approach is already in place at WHO, promoted by our program Clean Care is Safer Care. So far, this has related to hand hygiene product manufacturers only, but this initiative is called Private Organizations for Patient Safety, therefore can cover any kind of sector, not only hand hygiene or disinfection products. So it's a collaborative that aims to promote and support global patient safety thanks to the support and the help of private companies and facilitated by WHO. So it's a WHO industry collaborative which has as a pillar transparency, corporate social responsibility. It has focus on avoiding potential commercial interest or gain through different means that I will mention immediately. And it's aimed as the ultimate goal at preventing avoidable infections to the benefit of patients in all countries of the world. If you go to the next slide, you can see we have a website that you can access, and there you can find criteria for joining. You can find the rules and the code of conduct that we request participants to comply with, and also an agreement document which needs to be signed and to be cleared by the legal department at WHO as well as at the companies. So I think that this is a very promising initiative, which we are, as I said, applying also to the manufacturers of safety-engineered injections devices. If you go to the next slide, you can see features of the web platform where all participating companies can access specific information from WHO, can share information among them, and can also have a private space for dialogue with WHO. Thanks to this initiative regarding the hand hygiene aspect, we have many projects I don't have the time to explain, which we implemented over the last 2-3 years. And which led to significant improvement of hand hygiene practices, including the great support this platform has provided to the promotion of the Hand Hygiene Day over the last 2-3 years on 5th of May. So we really hope that the application of this model will be possible to the syringe devices manufacturers as well, and we are very confident that this will happen and will bring a great benefit to this new global injection safety initiative. The next slide highlights the last 2 points. I don't think I need to go into details because I've already explained you that we put a lot of importance on healthcare workers' safety, education, and training because one other reason for overuse of injections worldwide is really inappropriate use, and healthcare workers play an important role not only in reusing devices but also overusing injections because on their side as well there is often the belief that there is a better efficacy of injecting drugs, and also because in some countries providers of injections have financial incentives. They can actually charge a higher fee if they administer injections. So we really need to work intensively on behavioral change and understanding of this problem. public awareness raising and patient education, I've already explained earlier, and also, as I said, the evaluation plan and indicators. It is very important to highlight that this plan includes not only quantitative evaluations using the best indicators for tracking the impact of the campaign in terms of reuse and overall number of injections, but also the plan includes qualitative assessment, assessing, for instance, the campaign feasibility and reliability, assessing the change, the behavioral change that we hope to be able to catalyze, and we will do this based on implementation science and ethnography methods. We will, the most possible, we will use indicators that are already measured by national surveillance systems, not to burden national systems too much with further evaluation. So if you go to the next slide, which is the last one of my presentation, this tells you about how we are planning to test in some pilot countries this new initiative. We intend to start by conducting a business case framework implementation phase, which is mainly an assessment phase, evaluating in some of these countries that we selected for testing this global campaign. We would like to assess, as I said, the demand, the local available supplies, cost, procurement and program implementation strategies for the new policy and campaign. This is in the initial assessment phase, which will be then followed by a phase of actual implementation of the new policy in these countries in collaboration with some partners. And we are very thankful for having been able to engage some key partners in this pilot study, such as JSI and PASS. So in the last slide, you can see our website, where you can find further information and the information which I cited in my presentation, information and documents. You can send an email to patient safety at who.int. If you have questions, but as usual, you can also send your questions to Paul Weber. In the last slide, I would like to also remind you the last two teleclasses of this year within the WHO schedule on October 8th and on November 5th, and also the exceptional additional teleclass, which, if I'm not wrong, and Paul will correct me, will take place on 16th of September by my colleague, Dr. Sergey Aramin, on the WHO approach to the Ebola virus disease infection prevention and control. Thank you very much for listening, and over back to Dr. Damani for the conclusion.
Okay, thank you very much, Benedetta, for giving such an excellent presentation as usual. As you know, it is not possible to have question and answer session. And as Professor Elgranzi highlighted, that if you have any question, can you send it by email to info@webertraining.com, and hopefully we'll try to answer it. So at the end, you know, I just want to thank all of you for joining today's teleconference. And my special thanks goes to Paul Weber for organizing such this teleconference with you as usual. And thank you very much, and have a nice day. And we will see you at the next teleconference WHO on 16th of September on the prevention and control of Ebola virus. Thank you.
Thank you very much, everyone, and thank you, Nizam, as well. Goodbye.